This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky heads to the White House today. He has been requesting Tomahawk missiles from President Trump, but ABC's Mary Bruce says his request may have been thwarted yesterday when Russia's Vladimir Putin spoke by phone with the president.
Trump has suggested he's open to it, but he also says he discussed it on the phone with Putin yesterday, who, not surprisingly, doesn't like that idea. All of this is raising questions about whether Putin's decision to commit to another meeting now is simply a tactic to buy more time, or a good faith effort to finally reach peace.
The U.S. and Russia will have high-level talks next week. So-called No Kings protests planned tomorrow in all 50 states opposing Trump administration policies. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says he's deploying the National Guard to Austin in response. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton's in court in Maryland a day after his federal indictment on 18 criminal charges related to allegedly mishandling classified information. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Maggie Dawn Show, Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Richland County Administrator Tricia Clements and Richland County Board Chair David Turk have released a statement concerning the Richland County EMS. The board took action earlier this year to end the current service model for the Richland County EMS, as it was not fiscally sustainable. This agreement had been in place since 2014 and had been intended to last only 1 year. In 2025, it became very clear that the county could no longer sustain the service under the terms of that 2014 agreement. The Richland County Board acted to end the previous agreement effective December 31, 2025. Officials have been in discussion over the last couple of months with municipalities currently served by Richland County EMS to plan for 2026 and beyond. The county has developed a new contract structure reflecting the cost of operating the service, staffing it fully, and keeping it viable moving forward. This did result in increased cost for the municipalities involved, in some cases significant increases. The county created the agreement with a one-year term to give time for consideration of other ways the service could be provided to the affected municipalities while still creating a period of stability for the county's budget and for the dedicated professional staff currently employed by Richland County EMS. Municipalities have asked for an extension of current contract terms for 3 months to give them time to explore alternatives. The county has offered a 3-month interim agreement to satisfy this request, even though it creates uncertainty for Richland County and the ambulance service. There will be a vote on this request at the full county board meeting Monday night at 7. If no agreement is reached by the end of the 3 months, the service will end. Officials don't want that to happen. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Brewers fall again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. The Brewers lost again to the Dodgers, 3-1. They tried to rally in the ninth, but came up empty and struggled to see the ball while at bat due to some shadows at Dodgers Stadium, according to the manager, Pat Murphy.
And we had man on second, nobody out at the end, and our hottest hitter up, and he couldn't get him over, so those types of things happen. Your offense isn't going to click. We did some good things, but didn't get the big hit. Had a bunch of strikeouts when it was very difficult to see.
With a win tonight in Game 4, the Dodgers would be the first team in 16 years to return to the World Series back-to-back. Manager Dave Roberts.
I think the thing about our guys is they're battle-tested, and they know that I've never lost faith in them.
College football, the Wisconsin Badgers host the Ohio State Buckeyes, the number one ranked team in the nation. Kickoff 2:30 tomorrow afternoon at Camp Randall Stadium. The Buckeyes are 26-point favorites. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Todd Allball Show, weekday afternoons from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly sunny sky and a breezy south wind for your Friday afternoon, gusting over 25, highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, we'll see more clouds and showers and storms becoming likely, lower 50s. Some of that rain could be locally heavy. Currently 62 degrees.
Hey there, Wisconsin. Tom Hartman here. Democracy is not a spectator sport, so join me each and every weekday right here on Civic Media for the Tom Hartman program from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Covering the news of the day and sharing ways for you to get off the sidelines and get active in your community, because change starts with you. Get involved and tune in to the Tom Hartman program Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on your local Civic Media radio station.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, I'm joined by former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. We review the week in the law, especially the federal court that just ruled that Trump can't fire thousands of federal workers. Who knew?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every Friday. Civic Media's political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here. Wanted to talk a little bit about an article that is in the Cap Times about 200 teachers. This is the headline from Danielle DeCloy. 200 teacher sexual misconduct grooming cases shielded from the public.
Yeah, this is a very serious story. Mm-hmm. And I think it's one that we need to be talking about. And it's not an easy read. But I'd encourage people to read this. This is an investigative piece that has been in the works for quite some time at the Cap Times, it sounds like. And it may be part of another investigation or part of like a multi-part investigation that they are doing here. But I will give you kind of I'll read from the story just kind of like the main newsy piece of this here, saying, quote, a year-long investigation by the Cap Times found the State Department of Public Instruction investigated more than 200 Wisconsin teachers, aides, substitutes, and administrators from 2018 to 2023 who were accused of sexual misconduct or grooming behaviors towards students. Information previously unknown to the public. So this story delves into these kind of secret investigations that DPI has been having about various teachers across the state,
right?
And not making this information public. There's a lot about why, you know, what has gone into this and what the investigations exactly are. But I think that the investigation also found a number of things that do not look good for State Superintendent Jill Underlee. Mm-hmm. And do not look good for just the way this organization is run largely. So there have been a number of Republican state legislators who have issued press releases or calling for further investigation or calling for some sort of, you know, hearings to happen at the state capitol and all of that. And the Cap Times investigation, I'll quote again here, also found that the department run by Jill Underlee relies on a rudimentary system to track its investigations, obscuring the scale of misconduct for policymakers and the public. And as the Cap Times was doing this interview, and this is always telling from like the journalist standpoint on this, Underlee refused to be interviewed for
this piece.
That's
never good.
No. And that's never good. And I think this is, you know, we're just starting to see some of the reaction come out. I think two state senators wrote a press release yesterday, John Jagler and Romaine Quinn, Republican state senators, calling for more information and more of an investigation on this. Robin Voss put something out yesterday too. Have not seen, you know, many Democrats or anybody else talk about this, but I think, you know, this is a really serious story. And I think, you know, there's been a number of, you know, just like scrutiny leveled at Underly, at DPI over the past couple of years. I think that, you know, obviously the previous issue was the changing of standards. And I think, you know, the GOP kind of weaponized that to a certain degree in some of their messaging. But this is, I don't know why you would not make this public, mm-hmm. make this a greater investigation, because if DPI is not taking this seriously or seriously enough, that's a problem.
It is a problem.
Absolutely. I, you know, also make it clear that Jill Underling, if you don't know who she is, she's the head of the DPI, but she also just won re-election as well. So it's the fact that none of this came out, or, I mean, not the article itself even, but just the information during the election was it's very surprising to me. And I read the article just from the very beginning. It's a teacher who, instead of getting fired, quit so he could keep his teacher's license. And to me, that is absolutely reprehensible, and that I'll quit, but you shouldn't be around children anymore, period. That's just how it should be. But this is something that I agree with you, Dan, needs to be discussed further.
But I think that the Republicans, if they're going to come out outraged about this,
yeah,
then they best expect, well, then where's your vote on the Epstein files?
Sure.
I'm sorry. If we're all concerned about children and keeping children safe, you don't get to pick and choose mm-hmm. which story outrages you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would even, mm-hmm. I mean, I'd even take it to the point of just these Republicans. I haven't had a chance to read the press releases yet, but let's also focus on what's important here and say, all right, we need to get DPI in order. This needs to be investigated. This needs to be taken care of. And not what we're doing now is seeing the weaponization of any event whatsoever becoming the liberal blah, blah, blah. Like that dilutes the topic, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And if they're really concerned, Epstein file notwithstanding, but if they're really concerned about the DPI, our schools, and the kids, then this has got to be a very intentional investigation, and they got to look for answers instead of trying to vilify or ostracize people. That'll happen. Let that happen on its own. But if we're going to find out the details, then let's make that the priority, and protecting kids. Mm-hmm. That's always the thing, is protecting the children that we seem to say we care about.
We do seem to say that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I do think that there's cause for a bipartisan push to investigate this.
Absolutely.
Further here.
Absolutely.
I don't think they should make this a partisan thing to look into what's going on here. I think this needs to be a bipartisan push to figure out what's going on at DPI.
Yep.
There should be no sacred cows here.
Absolutely.
When it comes to anything,
absolutely.
Especially when it comes to the safety of the children in the state of Wisconsin.
Agreed.
And so I think the fact that they have clearly, as the report indicates, taken steps to make sure that these investigations are not public. And I think, you know, the public has a right to know what DPI is investigating, what teachers might be, mm-hmm. you know, putting children at risk. Like this is serious stuff.
It is.
Yeah. And it needs to be taken seriously. And you know, obviously this just came out. It's a huge report. It's a lot to process. But I think there's reason for a bipartisan investigation into what's going on here.
I think at the very, and from just the political side of it, for Jill Underly to say, I want a press conference. I want a reporter in the room. I want to talk to somebody. We're putting control the narrative and say, this is what's happened. This is what right. we're doing. You have the right to know, because you are the public. You are the taxpayers. You are the parents. And the fact that this has stayed under the rug for so many years is, this is very, very bad. And I'm going to warn, I will put the story in the show notes. I will warn you, there are things in this story that can be triggering or just make you not feel, you have to be prepared when you read this. There are very, very specific.
It's a tough read.
Stories here, and it is a tough read, but we need to know these things. And has there been any Democratic leaders whatsoever who've stood up and said anything along, maybe even standing next to a Robin Voss or whomever?
Now, we've just seen the statements yesterday. I mean, this is all very new.
Just broke.
This story was just published, I believe, yesterday or the day before, late the day before, or something like that. So I think we're still in the initial phase of reading this and reacting, and who knows how this came up. But, you know, it's just there's the information here is really startling. You know, another one here. I'll quote again, out of 461 teachers the state investigated from 2018 to 2023 for all forms of misconduct, 207 kept their credentials and continue working. Again, if they are doing these investigations and finding out that, you know, something that everything was above board or whatever, these also should be made public.
Well, right. We should There's a big distinction there. Yes.
And so I think, you know, sunlight is a good thing. Making these public is a good thing. And doing these with a lack of transparency. And I think it's really bad that Underly declined to interview for this. Like, if there is a process for like how this works that maybe the public doesn't understand, or there are like legal certain, you know, hurdles that they would have to jump through to make this private, like help us understand why you're doing things the way you're doing things. And if you're declining an interview for an investigative piece like this, that is going to make these things worse. That is going to make these things worse. And I think that's what's happening right now. And I think that the silence that you're hearing from DPI after this story, like there's been, you know, a half dozen Republican state legislators who have issued press releases. DPI can't comment on this story.
Right.
They can't they can't have their, you know, any leadership be interviewed for this, or just like to help us understand what's going on. Maybe there is a reason that they do things that the way that they do things. But by refusing to have the conversation and refusing to, you know, defend your process or whatever it might be, it makes it look like you're putting children at risk. And that's a huge, huge problem.
If you're just joining us on Matt and Aaron Air, we're speaking with Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer here. And we're discussing an article in the Cap Times that is an investigative article that has shown that DPI has hidden the investigation on 200 teacher sexual misconduct. So I'm sorry. I'm going to read the headline. 200 teachers sexual misconduct grooming cases shielded from public by the DPI. That is the Cap Times by Danielle DeClos is the last name.
If we missed the pronunciation, but yeah, that's my understanding too.
I will put this in the show notes so you can read it yourself. Again, this is a very, very,
it's a tough read.
And the thing too, Dan, I will say is that one of the things we talked about during the last election when it came to this position is the fact that I think Civic Media spoke to her opponent more than we spoke to her. She also was not available for interviews. And this looks bad. And you know this is happening. You're telling me somewhere in that building there isn't a piece of paper in a drawer with that has press release language on there saying, when we get found out, we at least have something to say. But they don't. That tells me that they were operating under the guise of, well, this is how we do it. Once again, this is how it's always been done, and that's all.
Well, but again, if that is the case, then the public deserves to know what these processes are and what protocols you are following ostensibly to investigate these cases.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, you don't want to put somebody's name in there who was not charged. That leads to a whole nother set of problems.
Right. Exactly. But I think by the fact that they're not answering questions from the media on this, it's going to lead to, you don't want to answer questions from the Cap Times, you're going to get a public hearing in the Wisconsin State Legislature now. That's where you're going to have to answer the questions next.
Yep.
You know, like from a political standpoint, I don't know how this is going to break, but this is, it's just a very, very serious story. And I think we have to treat it as such. And you know, And this might not be the end of it. I mean, this is a Cap Times first of many investigative stories looking into DPI, looking into what's going on there. There's a lot of troubling revelations in this piece, a lot of questions raised. And again, there's some stuff that we probably shouldn't talk about on the radio for some of the details that are in this piece. But go check it out. This is a really important investigative story, and it deserves serious scrutiny and perhaps a bipartisan investigation.
From a political standpoint, this is a terrible way for Jill Enderle to start her second term.
Not
really is.
Not good. When we return, boys, they'll just be boys, even if they're 31, 34, 36. They're just boys. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
From the center, WRCE.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now is a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seems like nobody in America agrees on much of anything these days.
But can we agree the federal government shouldn't tax people into poverty?
If you work full-time, you should be able to afford your basic needs. Don't you think? We're the Patriotic Millionaires.
We believe your full-time job should cover what it costs to live. We think your first $45,000 of income should be tax-free.
And multimillionaires?
We should pay more to fund your tax cut. Go to first45taxfree.com to learn more. A working-class tax cut paid for by millionaires. That's an idea we can all agree on.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, creator of the Recombobulation Area, is here. It is Friday. He joins us on Fridays. Wanted to talk a little bit about the whole boys will be boys thing. It ain't no big thing. Who doesn't love a little Hitler and make gas chamber jokes and say rape is epic?
I don't.
You don't?
I do not.
Are you not a boy?
I am a man.
I thought boys all said things like that when they're just chatting amongst themselves.
It goes back to that whole thing from the 2016 election of locker room talk. That was one of the greatest deflections I've ever heard in my life, when the now president of the United States on a hot mic caught saying what you can do to a woman, especially when you're rich. I knew we were in trouble when I just saw, you know, it's locker room talk. Don't worry about it.
It's fine. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. This goes back to a political article from just a couple of days ago. I love Hitler. Leaked messages expose young Republicans' racist chat. Thousands of private messages reveal young GOP leaders joking about gas chambers, slavery, and rape, as one does, apparently. If you listen to Vice President J.D. Vance, Calvin, I believe we have a clip from Mr. Vance. Could we play that, please?
By focusing on what kids are saying in a group chat, grow up. I'm sorry. Focus on the real issues. Don't focus on what kids say in group chats.
They're kids?
Well, no. But also, we shouldn't focus on those, Jane. What we should be focusing on is the social media posts about people making comments about Charlie Kirk so we can call their employees and get them fired, because that's what he told people to do. So, again, Mr. Vance, make a decision. I know you won't, because you are a coward. But that's just, for me, that is some of the, that is one of the most infuriating things about this turnaround. Charlie Kirk died, what, a month and a half ago? A month ago? And people were yelling and screaming. People should be fired for the things they say. But now, don't worry about it, guys.
It's fine. Yeah. Their boys will be boys. These are people in their 30s. These are not boys.
Exactly.
These are not children.
These are people who are closer to J.D. Vance's age and my age as millennials than, you know, some sort of Gen Alpha high school nitwit, you know. And there's nothing that Republicans won't excuse as long as you agree with them.
It sure seems that way.
J.D. Vance going out of his way to defend this.
Yes.
Not just saying, oh, I don't think this is a big deal. Like, we got a bigger things to worry about. I'm the vice president, blah, blah, blah. He's going out of his way to defend
nothing.
This.
It's a nothing burger.
Yeah.
Well, two more members of this young Republican group chat have stepped down from their jobs.
But it was just jokes, Shane.
I know. And they've got pictures with Elise Stefaniak.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them were New York Republicans.
Yeah, a lot of the reporting was through the New York.
A lot of those pictures, shockingly, have disappeared from her social media.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Johnson has a picture with one of these guys. Mm-hmm. Mike Johnson said, well, you know, it was the inauguration. Anybody can walk up to you for a selfie. I didn't realize just anybody could go to the inauguration. I'll go.
Yeah.
I'd love to go. So anyone can just walk in. I thought you needed an invitation.
You need a ticket to get in.
You do.
You have to have a ticket.
So you either have to be someone or know someone who's someone to get there.
Correct.
Oh, okay.
Yes, exactly.
All right. But they're just boys.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there are layers of problems within this story. One, the fact that they keep on referring to them as children. I mean, that's just not what they are. They're not children. And also, I'm sorry, but if my child, let's say I had two boys and they were texting each other and they were like 10 or 11, first of all, I'd be like, why did I give them a phone? Second of all, I'd be like, this isn't funny. Don't ever do this. I would not be like, they'll grow out of that. No, because you allow them to do these things. It gets worse and worse and worse. And also, and I'm sorry to say this, from a comedian comedy standpoint, they keep saying they're just jokes. Okay. I'm sorry to be persnickety about this. There were no jokes in these. These are just statements of like
they're slurs.
That's all they are. This isn't a thing of like, oh, it's freedom of speech. They're just trying to be funny. No, they're not. I love Hitler. What punchline is that? Where is the joke? Where is the setup? This is reprehensible. And at the very least, J.D. Vance could say, I got things to worry about. I think that the organization should do it. I mean, Mark Wayne Mullen got on CNN and said that this is a zero tolerance thing.
For him.
His boys would never do that. He wouldn't allow that.
Right.
And we don't accept this. Untrue, sir. Untrue.
Well, and obviously there are households where this happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This comes from somewhere.
Their parents.
What this story does show to me, to a certain extent, too, is that it is indicative of where the Republican Party is headed with the next generation of Republicans who have only known Donald Trump
mm-hmm.
as the figurehead of the party, as the dominant figure in American politics.
Yes.
I think there's been so many Democrats over the years just like waiting for the fever to break and just waiting for the sane Republicans to take back hold of the party. It's not happening.
No.
This is the future of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
Guys in these insane group chats. And now they are going to be in leadership positions and are in leadership positions
already
throughout the Trump administration, throughout Republican Party chapters throughout the country.
We have news coming up next when we return. Boy, they really don't want this No Kings rally to happen tomorrow. My, my, my. Are you going? We'd love to hear from you. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has published state general school aids that school districts will receive during the current school year. This release of certified financial figures is based on data from the previous school year, including student counts and year-end financial data. The information published includes certified general school aid amounts for each school district, as well as 2025-26 student enrollment numbers for independent charter schools and private schools participating in the private school choice programs and the special needs scholarship program. Certain enrollment numbers for these programs are used to determine the dollar amounts to be withheld from school districts' aid payments to fund the programs as applicable. General school aids are the largest form of state support for PK through 12 schools in Wisconsin. The DPI is required by state law to release the certified aid figures by October 15th of each year. Locally, Weston will see a decrease of 10.85% or a cut of $190,941. The Kickapoo Area District will see a 10.61% decrease or a cut of $346,597. The River Valley School District is facing a 5.17% decrease, amounting to $313,403. The Riverdale School District is receiving a 3.01% decrease, or $171,074. The Richland School District cut is a 2.07% decrease, or $236,843. The district receiving the least cut in the area is the Ithaca School District at 1.72%, or $42,196. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Diane Keaton's cause of death has been revealed. The actress passed away at the age of 79 on October 11th at her home in Los Angeles. According to Yahoo Entertainment, the actress's family says Keaton died of pneumonia. The Annie Hall star had had two battles with skin cancer in recent years and has also dealt with an eating disorder. Her daughter Dexter and son Duke said they were grateful for the support shown for their mother's passing. There were two great movies out this year that were totally original and unbelievably well executed in Sinners and One Battle After Another. Original movies can be done, but this is Hollywood, and according to Empire Online, there will be a new movie based on the Flintstones in space, also known as the Jetsons. Sigh. I guess the good news is Jim Carrey is being looked at for the part of George Jetson. Plenty of great filmmakers out there, but they're going back to a cartoon from 1962. Well done, Hollywood. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
107.7 WRCE, News from the Center, and home for the Todd Allball Show, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly sunny sky and a breezy south wind for your Friday afternoon, gusting over 25, highs in the upper 70s. Tonight, we'll see more clouds and showers and storms becoming likely, lower 50s. Some of that rain could be locally heavy. It's 63 at our studios.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
The incomparable Jane Mattner.
I have been in radio for 44 years.
It's incredible.
I wanted to be an actress originally. Radio to me was mind theater. Mm-hmm. I could be anybody.
Yeah.
And people could imagine it. It's like reading a book mm-hmm. instead of the movie. Is your mind gets to fill in lots of details. And I think that's part of the genuine experience of radio.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app.
This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local civic media radio station.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome host of New Wisco Weekend, Lisa Hale, to talk some color television. And it's a bar band Friday night, which means Terry Barr comes by with great tunes and fun talks.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome back to Mattner on Air. Jane Mattner, Greg Bach, our one, our only Calzone coming live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. Just a reminder, Game 4 is tonight. Brewers at the Dodgers. Broadcast starts 7 o'clock. You can listen to the game if you so choose.
Oh, no.
WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, in Racine and Kenosha. Catch it on WRJN. Dodgers hosting the crew tonight. Our broadcast starts at 7 o'clock. Fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Let's hope. Tomorrow.
Hope is a good thing.
Hope is a good thing.
Oh, both of you with that.
Tomorrow is the No Kings rally. And Republicans are very upset about this. Very upset about this. We have a clip. And we mentioned Charlie Kirk, the horrible murder of Charlie Kirk, which is what it was. And all the talk about toning down the rhetoric. After the murder of Charlie Kirk, everybody's got to tone it down. We have to stop calling each other names.
Take down the temperature.
Take down the temperature. So, yes, fulfilling that, mm-hmm. we have White House Press Secretary Carolyn Leavitt talking about the folks who will be at the No Kings rally tomorrow. Calvin, let's play that completely fair description of the people who will be at the rally tomorrow.
Party's main constituency are made up of Hamas terrorists, illegal aliens, and violent criminals. That is who the Democrat Party is catering to, not the Trump administration and not the White House and not the Republican Party.
Mike Johnson said this morning they're going to descend on our Capitol for their much anticipated so-called No Kings rally. We refer to it by the more accurate description, the Hate America rally. I'm not sure how anyone can refute that. You're bringing together the Marxists, socialists, Antifa advocates, anarchists, and pro-Hamas wing of the far-left Democrat Party. They hate capitalism. They hate America. They hate all the ideas that we work for every day. Mike Johnson from this morning. Lowering the temperature.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, we had a decade of hearing about how saying people belong in a basket of deplorables was the worst thing that anyone had ever said. And we need to make sure we are having respect on all sides for all parts of the political process. And no, we've got the White House now saying that the Democratic Party's main constituency is Hamas terrorists.
Hamas terrorists, and
on this list of things, it's ridiculous. Tim Walz had a good tweet responding to this. Most Republicans are good people. Most Democrats are good people. The White House says outrageous things to make you hate your neighbor. Your neighbor isn't the problem. The White House is,
without a doubt.
Yeah,
and it's the White House, and it's the ultra wealthy. And that's who the White House is representing now. Mm-hmm. It's the ultra wealthy. Last night, I believe it was last night, there was a big fundraiser for the big, beautiful billionaire ballroom. Right. The government is shut down.
Right.
People aren't getting paid. But hey, let's have a party to raise money for my beautiful private club.
Right.
That's all
with
fine.
His very own arc.
Oh, yeah. He's going to get his own arc de triomphe. That's a whole nother discussion. We'll get around to that. Well,
and when you listen to them talk about this, whether it's Carolyn Leavitt, well, whomever it is, they're all, they don't have anything to say about it because they keep recycling the same talking points. Hamas terrorists, they've brought Antifa back into it and are now saying it's an organized group and they've arrested the girl. Like, it's, they don't stand on your policies. While you're marching through the streets, we're trying to get the government up and running. The Democrats won't come to the table, but we have plans for the American people. Instead, it's stuff like this that is just absolute nonsense. And by the way, coming out of Mike Johnson's mouth is some of the most uninspiring rhetoric ever, because he has two modes, Mike Johnson and slightly agitated Mike Johnson. He doesn't really do a good job of instilling any sort of, like, you know, big feelings. He always seems annoyed by every single question he has ever been asked. And Carolyn Leavitt, you can do better than naming three groups of people I'm pretty sure who can't even vote to begin with, let alone saying they're, just say, like, pro Hamas. Okay, fine. Yeah, I'm going to go to a rally, so I'm pro Hamas. Yeah, you're absolutely right. But Hamas terrorists? What are you talking about, dude? You're better, quote unquote, than this.
Are they?
That's why I did the quotes.
Are they?
That's why you got to watch in the live stream. Yeah, it's it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the response to the protest tomorrow. What the administration is going to do, but I think there is, you know, and you mentioned that just to connect things to the last segment that we were talking about, the Politico group chat story that was talking about, like, the people that the White House is talking to with these types of comments are in that group chat.
Yes.
You know,
oh, yes.
That is the audience that they are trying to please.
Yep. Yeah.
By saying that, like, the everyone on the left, every Democrat is a Hamas terrorist and illegal alien and, mm-hmm. and whatever
right.
else.
Right.
right. Those are the people who are. And I think this is kind of part of our ongoing political realignment that we're experiencing, too, where I think you have, like, these psycho incel nut jobs in this group chat, and then I think you have the actual constituency of the Democratic Party now, where it's just kind of a lot of more normal offline millennial parents, I think, in a lot of instances too. And you're just talking, like, people just want better health care. Like, this is not just like
right.
this is not like people who are want to, like, completely upend the American experiment. This is just, can we have a little bit better health care?
Well,
can we raise taxes on these rich people? Can we have some level of, like, there? It's just so dismissive to call people what they called people in these press conferences.
And that also makes me question whether or not these folks have access to a dictionary, because I got news for you. Fascist, Marxist, communist, socialist are not all interchangeable words.
Right. Right.
They all have specific definitions, and you can't just swap one out.
But they don't.
They don't all mean the same thing.
Jane, you're talking nuance. You're talking crazy.
I know. How kooky of me.
But I think that's a very good point you bring up, Dan, is that when it's written in the history books, if it ever is, you think about both of these rallies that will take place this year. It's going to be millions of people marching for a fairer America, not an America that enriches them. It's about just, hey, I'd like to be able to afford to send my kid to school. I got to march in the street for this.
Right.
And what will be interesting to see is how many more people will be protesting this time, and how many more of those people will be individuals who voted for Donald Trump who are saying, yep, wrong. Let's do this. Let's get to work. You know, that's the numbers are what I'm very interested in seeing. And especially in those small towns around the country who have 5,000-10,000 people, how many people will turn out? Because we saw the numbers from Wisconsin and it was impressive
in June
for small towns and villages. So that's the, for me, that's the takeaway.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here on Matt Nair on Air, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the Recombobulation Area, talking about the No Kings rally that is happening around the country tomorrow. By the way, Midas Touch reporting on Twitter that No Kings organizers say that RSVPs now for the No Kings rallies have more than doubled since Mike Johnson and Republicans started attacking them and calling it a Hate America rally. Folks are planning to turn out because they love this country and would like to see democracy preserved, as opposed to, I don't know, just giving all of the power to the executive office. And that includes the power of the purse, which is supposed to belong to Congress.
And there's nothing more American than not wanting a king, right?
Yeah.
There's nothing more American than this. I want to highlight one perspective on this that I thought was interesting. Dave Weigel, who is a longtime political reporter, he was at the Washington Post for a while. He's now at Semaphore. He wrote a piece with the headline, "Yes, Kings, Republicans Revel in Trump's Imperial Presidency." And just talking about how many Republicans like this no guardrails version.
Give it all to
of
him.
Trump
2.0. We need a dictator.
And there was another piece in the New York Times this week talking about how, like, there were actual, looking back compared to what we're seeing now, there were guardrails on what Trump was doing in his first term in office.
Not anymore. No,
those are all gone. And I think now that Republicans are happy with it, because it's just like, well, yeah, I don't want to have to go through all this nonsense with Congress. And, oh, the courts are, you know, they're just holding us up. It's an insurrection by judges and whatever else we got to do. We just want this one man to have all of the power to do everything.
Because he's so smart. Joe Walsh, who is a former Republican, who was a Tea Party member and a very outspoken one, and has since become, registered as a Democrat now. Yeah. But I think this is really important for folks to remember if you are going to a No Kings rally tomorrow. Joe Walsh said in a piece, "Be smart. Republicans want you to F up. They want you to get violent. They want those videos. They're going to have people out at every rally. They want videos of people waving Palestinian flags, Ukrainian flags, other countries' flags, so they can use that video to support their narrative that we hate America."
Well,
so be careful tomorrow. Do not give them what they want.
Well, on
peaceful, respectful protest is the way to go here.
Absolutely. This is about loving America and preserving democracy.
But I will say this. If you go to the No Kings website, they lay out very simply the things you should and should not be doing while you're there as representing that, essentially that brand, which is No Kings. But I'll say this. Fly your Palestinian flag, fly your Ukrainian flag if you want. If they want to take pictures and put that in videos, that's fine. Because at the end of the day, they have to defend why they don't want freedom for other people. As we just said, No Kings is sort of like the kernel of why America became America. And countries and people like the Palestinians and people like the Ukrainians want freedom. And if people out there are saying no, they have to defend why they don't want that someday. Now, maybe not tomorrow or next month, but to me, I think it's reprehensible that they get to say, don't, I fly your flag, fly whatever flags you want, as long as you're staying respectful. But if they want to use those people as narratives of why it's bad, then why do you hate freedom, the other side? Why don't you want these individuals and their countries to be free? That's the thing that really gets to me every time we talk about it.
My whole point is be safe.
Yes.
Be positive. Mm-hmm. Be celebratory.
Wear a costume.
That's also a thought. I'm just saying. Unicorns for Democracy. I'll see you in Brookfield tomorrow.
Did anyone else find it interesting that I think it was the Mike Johnson clip where they said they were descending on the Capitol? It's like, well, what about all those people on January 6th who descended in the Capitol?
Oh, and that's a whole different thing.
Exactly.
That was a love fest.
I mean, that was just some tourists walking around,
that
you know?
What about that they're sending Black Hawk helicopters into apartment buildings into Chicago now? There's a lot to protest for what's going on in this current moment.
Yeah.
And I do think it's interesting that this No Kings rally has kind of become this all-encompassing protest too, that is like kind of just pulling together all of these different things. There are more than 100 events planned across Wisconsin,
just in Wisconsin
yep. this weekend. And so I think people, you know, myself included, have been very discombobulated by this moment. And I don't really know, like, watching what's going on in Chicago and watching what's going on nationally. But I do think there's always an option to make your voice heard and to peacefully protest. And I hope that's the energy that people take into it tomorrow.
Absolutely. Dan Schaefer, thank you so much. When we return, this shouldn't be a thing. I feel the earth move, literally. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Dan Hagen, you were out hunting. How did that go?
This buck is eluding me, so I'm just trying new things. I bought designated hunting clothes that I'm going to wash with special detergent that has no scent on it.
People get into the scent, and there's all kinds of things people try to do. I don't know that the science is conclusive. Otherwise, everybody would have success every time. You got to try what you can try, right?
That's spending money for no real reason, probably, at the end of the day.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
It should not be a partisan question as to how the National Guard is being deployed. That should be extremely concerning to Republicans of good faith right alongside Democrats. If you scrub it of the partisanship, the facts are not disputable. You have flouting of court orders and a political use of the National Guard, two things which no American should ever be okay with.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Baseball on the radio is a tradition we're very happy to continue. Catch the Brewers all season long on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 in Richland Center. Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center. We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center. We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. Hello, live stream. on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We were talking before the break about the No Kings rally tomorrow. If you plan on going, please be peaceful. Please take pictures. We would love to see them. Andrew from Maine texting in on listening on WAUK. We need people attending the rallies tomorrow to dress up like Mike Johnson and John Roberts so video can show them that MAGA stalwarts stand with the No Kings protesters.
I would say, if you're going to dress up like those individuals, I want people who can really dance do that. I want to see someone dressed as John Roberts who can twerk, who can find a light pole and pull it. I want to see someone dressed as a Supreme Court justice.
Who can really do it.
Who can cut a rug. I want to say shake a rug. That's not a thing.
You can shake
a rug. You shake a rug if you want while you're cutting a rug. That's fine.
Not quite the same. Yeah. Coming up on Monday, we will be examining all the things that happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. A lot of news tends to drop after we get off the air on Fridays.
Yeah.
Shelley Pittman, our civic media news director, not going to be able to make it. She normally joins us on Monday. So we will do a recap in the first hour of Matinee on Air coming up on Monday. So I hope you can join us for that. Right now, Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you find a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us, JaneSays. Jane says at civicmedia.us. Casper sent this in, one of our colleagues here at Civic Media. The headline from the Express in the UK. NASA says giant China dam shifted Earth's axis and has made the days shorter.
Thank God.
Anthony Arrico with the byline. China's Three Gorges Dam has effectively changed Earth's axis by nearly an inch since it was built 18 years ago, causing our days to get longer ever so slightly. The Three Gorges Dam changed Earth's axis.
I don't even know what to say to that.
I know. It's pretty mind-boggling.
Yeah, I didn't even know you could do that.
Construction on the massive dam began in 94, took about a decade to be finished. It transformed the Yangtze River into a 10 trillion gallon reservoir that does generate a whole bunch of power. It powers over 5 million households for a month. While the dam is a marvel of engineering, it has also triggered surprising consequences to the Earth's axis, a feat most scientists thought was impossible. The 10 trillion gallons of water that the dam holds back adds weight to the Earth's crust above sea level, redistributing mass inside the planet and affecting the moment of inertia. Oh, I know what this means. No, I don't. Scientists at NASA have confirmed the added weight has caused Earth's rotation axis to shift 2 centimeters.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like a lot, but smart people say in terms of planetary physics, this is significant. The rotation of Earth has slowed down slightly as more mass moves away from its axis. This actually is similar to something that happened after the 2004 tsunami, which also shifted the Earth's axis and shortened the day by a few microseconds.
That was
so mind-blowing.
It was mind-blowing, but I also feel like we should have gotten a scientist in here to make me understand it. Just be like, water, world fatter, day shorter. There we go.
It's complicated, but it's kind of wild.
Can you even wrap your brain around 10 trillion gallons of water?
No.
I mean, that is bonkers.
It is bonkers.
I mean, yeah. I will say, though, that when China wants to do an infrastructure project, they just do it. They just do it.
They apparently get it done.
Meanwhile, we just get wider freeways.
That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening and for watching on the stream. It means the world. Mm-hmm. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next. Yeah. Tom Hartman, then, from noon until 2 o'clock. Todd Alba takes over 2 to 4. Maggie Dawn, the award-winning Maggie Dawn, from 4 to 6. Pete Schwabba, A Little Nightlight, from 6 to 8 p.m.
And it's not just done after Pete Schwabba. We just don't go off the air. We don't play the national anthem and there's a test sound. There are great programs after that as well, including The Rick Smith Show and Native Roots with Robert Pilot.
So good.
It's a great show. I love listening to it. And I just want to put a plug really quick because we talked to him yesterday. Tomorrow, Amicus, a law review. He will be talking about the Voting Rights Act being in front of the Supreme Court. It is probably the most important decision on the docket this time around. It will affect everyone.
Yes.
Everybody. And I'm surprised, honestly, that they didn't just take it up as a shadow docket.
Thank you, Greg Buck, and Unicorns for Democracy.
Yeah.
I'll see you tomorrow in Brookfield. Be safe, everybody. Stay with us. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Is news from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Former National Security Advisor John Bolton has pleaded not guilty to charges accusing him of improperly storing and sharing classified information. ABC's Catherine Falders has more from Washington.
Bolton arriving at court this morning, we're told that he surrendered, he was processed. There was obviously a warrant for his arrest, so he went and turned himself in at this federal courthouse, processed behind closed doors. There's no cameras in court.
Bolton, in a statement, said this was part of President Trump's retribution. He's the third opponent of the president charged in the last 3 weeks, along with former FBI Director James Comey and New York Attorney General Letitia James. Those charges expected to be one area of protest at tomorrow's No Kings demonstrations against Trump administration policies, their plan for all 50 states. Today, the president hosts Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the White House, a day after he spoke with Russia's Vladimir Putin and agreed to another summit. This is ABC News.